to the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast.
He's laughing already. Hi, yay!
Hey, sharp! It's called the Off as well.
Yeah, sorry.
No. So, yeah, I am your host, Ali.
And I'm James, and I'm back. Yeah!
Woo! What? Yeah. I'm back!
You don't need to listen to those other two. Hey, you've got this real star of the show. Hello.
Woo. Someone's jealous. Woo. Someone is jealous.
No, I liked listening last week because the tone of the podcast went up like a notch, and now I'm going to drag it down.
What do you mean? Do you mean by tone quality, or do you actually mean tone?
I think like the intelligence of the people discussing the film. You've got two very well spoken friends. They seem like they're not. They're not pushing. I thought they would be for your friends. You're from.
I'm a street rat. I'm a street rat.
All your friends to like be. Those kind of like Asian rude boys with a massively gelled hair driving around.
I have some cousins like they call me Olibai because they're Pakistani, yeah. Right? So Olibai, can I be in your podcast? And I was like, if I hear people like
get him on it. I would love it. We talk about Tupac and
Do not start on Tupac. Yeah. They're all like, you're Tupac, right? Start the Illuminati, right?
I love the Illuminati and all the current members of the Illuminati. I think that would be great, yeah. But yeah, it's just a return to real quality, I think. Now I'm back.
And to be honest, right, I mean, they are well-spoken guys, but I was really surprised how well-spoken they came out. I think...
What do you expect them to be a little bit...
Yeah, I thought they're going to be a little bit more relaxed and...
But they seem relaxed. It's just their voices. That's what they sound like,
right? I know. Okay. But I just didn't.
You didn't know what you expected.
I did not expect that, but I didn't. But to be honest, because Irfan, he's not listened to the podcast, so I think
did he didn't listen to himself.
I don't know if he's heard the latest one. I haven't spoken since then, but I know that. He didn't listen to before, which you know he's not.
Bastard.
Fucking wanker.
I listen to him. It's fucking boring. No, I don't know if he. No, you were great. Welcome back anytime.
I did actually ask him. I did text him, and the fucker didn't text me back.
Well, maybe he didn't have fun with you last.
Yeah, I think he did.
Recording for hours and hours. Yeah. Where did you record last?
Well, I just recorded that Ifie and Alex's flat. They live together.
Oh, they live together.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
It's very nice.
That's nice.
Yeah. So.
That's nice. Nice.
Yeah, so I was going to do that, and basically, I was just surprised that they came. I mean, they do speak Portuguese, it's just I was surprised, and you know, they came up pretty serious in what the film. Like, mm-hmm. You and I, we shoot the shit a bit with the.
I don't really know anything about films, so I just have to make jokes. That's all I've got.
You know about films.
I don't even know about films. I know nothing about films.
You
know. I don't know anything about
films. You watch Old Boy, that gives you enough cred to say that you know.
Does it? Is that one of the films?
It does.
Is that up there?
I think it's up there.
I've not seen...
It's still a cult film.
I've not seen Citizen Kane.
I haven't seen Citizen Kane.
I want to see it, though. But it's too long. I don't have the attention.
I don't have the problem with the length. We've talked about this before. It's just the hype of a film, and it's like the history of a film. When it's just the greatest film of all time, you expect it to be the greatest film of all time.
So you don't want to be disappointed.
Exactly. And it happened to be Godfather, because since I was a kid, my uncle was like, Godfather's greatest film of all time.
Godfather was really good, though.
It was really good, but you couldn't appreciate the age of 13.
maybe not.
Because you see a chopped off head.
Mm-hmm.
Horses.
Yeah, horses, head chopped off.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but I see Arnold Schwarzenegger take off his arm skin and... like robot stuff, so
I don't think that's better.
No, I'm not saying it's better, but I'm saying as a kid I've been desensitized by
violence.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So for me that was like
so what would have to shock you, like a man putting a corkscrew in someone's chest and ripping out their heart and then taking a bite out of it?
My dad does that every weekend. My dad just does that in real life, mate. Son, this is what you're going to do when you grow up. Yeah. And so.
You wouldn't actually be able to eat that because that wouldn't be halal because...
We do the whole prayer.
We have to wait for the blood to drain out.
Yeah, but that's why the heart's still pumping when you're doing it and all the blood is pumped out.
So
by
you
then.
Have to wait for it and then you can eat the heart.
Yeah, but this is what we do in a vacuum.
It's just idiotic. It's just idiotic.
Yes, it is. Because clearly... starting off with getting a corkscrew and then
pulling what, like, we wonder why this podcast is 2.5 hours long. That's why we spent like 10 minutes talking about shit. We need to just
move on.
Yeah, so news.
All right, news. So we only have one bit of news that actually stuck with me or I give a flying fuck about. Well, there's stuff like sequel news and stuff like that, but we don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I'm excited for or interested in. Ooh, yes. Yes. They can't see that on the podcast.
No, I told him. That's what I told him.
Yeah, I know. But
I described it to him.
You didn't really describe it.
You know when you go to advert and they have the advert in the cinema?
Right.
What deaf people can listen to describe the film.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm doing with this podcast.
Okay.
So, as you speak, I'm going to be like, Ali wipes sweat from his forehead with his sweatband and stuff like that, you know? So people know what's going on.
There's no sweatband today.
Ali is wearing a yellow t-shirt with a fish on it.
What's wrong with wearing...
Nothing's wrong with it. I'm describing...
Yeah, but you're clearly mocking me.
People can build up the picture of what's going on.
All right. Not like you, fucking bland blue navy t-shirt bastard. Are you flexing your pecs? Are you
trying? I am. We need to get back to you're excited.
Okay,
about
so news. No, well, I think you're excited for it as well.
Well, I heard about it 30 seconds ago, but I am excited about it.
Yes. Okay. Basically, Spike Lee, is that his name?
Yeah, Spike Lee.
Yeah, he wants to direct the remake of Old Boy, which is the Park Chan-wook Korean film.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars, I can't remember the dude's name, but it's like something like Choi Min-suk. I don't know, Google it, man.
Okay.
Google the fucker.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember. But I know it's Park Chan-wook, that's all I need to know. But it's part of the Revenge trilogy, you know. I can't remember the name. Lady Vengeance. And then, James, can you fucking just Google quick enough? Thank you. Okay. So who's in it?
Choi Min-sik.
Oh, yes, yes, I was right. So basically, it's part of the Revenge trilogy, but it's pretty awesome. It's pretty fucked up, isn't it, James?
Well, boy, yeah, it is.
Yeah, but don't give it up.
I'm just saying, it's pretty fucked up, like.
But did you enjoy it when you watched
it? Yeah, I really did enjoy it. I
thought it was.
Yeah, it's good.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty good.
Yeah. You're trying not to get hyped up like that. Well, to be honest.
No, it's good.
So what do you think of Spike Lee directing a remake of Old Boy?
You know what? I don't really know because what is he? How's he? Would he change it a lot? Would he set it? Is he going to set it in America?
I think that's one thing. I think that's the whole point. I mean, usually when they do these remakes from Asia, it's just to get, just so American audiences can say, "Oh, that's New York City. I completely get the world now."
Is it going to be a straight film, or is it going to be one of Spike Lee's films where he's doing a fly?
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh my god.
Okay.
I'm talking about Old Boy, and I'm just getting kind of Kung Fu boots.
Much Kung Fu in it.
What?
He
beats up the people.
Yeah, but it's not Kung Fu. That's called gender. I've seen that. I think maybe that's what Spike Lee will comment on racial stereotypes.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's what I'm going to say. Is he going to bring the whole Spike Lee kind of racial.
Social commentary
into Old Boy? It's going to be a bit fucked, and you're thinking about,
is the start of the film going to be a white man who's a manager of a superstore firing a black guy and saying, "Look, that's Harlem, man," you know? And then the black guy starts becoming a gangster or something. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be the story?
I really don't know. I'm not Spike Lee. Yeah. What Spike Lee directed recently?
I can't remember. I know he'd done Miracle at St. Anna, and he also done, The Inside Man. I can't remember anything else. Lately.
So is this film on his filmography?
Yeah, and
so he's done a bunch of films I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so Miracles. Yeah, I think, what the fuck are these?
If God is willing, the creep don't rise. This is a documentary about Kobe Bryant.
Is any good?
I haven't watched it, so.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I haven't watched Spike Lee films I've watched from the 90s. I watched Jungle Fever.
I haven't seen actually a lot of Spike Lee films, to be honest. I mean, I want to see. I still haven't seen 25th Hour.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't seen Do the Right Thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are. Oh, I've seen Love and Basketball. I have no idea why.
I kind of feel like, I don't know, when I hear Spike Lee's directing a film, I kind of feel like, oh, it's kind of past his. Not past his time, because obviously he can still do stuff, but
he can.
He probably doesn't have the same
But to be honest, he's been like working in Katrina for a while anyway, helping out. So you can't like say, "All right, fuck."
No, he has to do some work. Like, he has to pull up his socks.
Fuck those people. Government's helped them enough, of course. But anyway, with me, in my opinion, what I see as, well, I think the issue, I mean, from what I've seen of Spike Lee, he doesn't. I mean, he has a social commentary, he always has, of course, but he doesn't actually add, he doesn't have a style, in my opinion, in terms of shooting style. He doesn't have a certain look. And I think that's why I'm interested, actually, in Old Boy more than I am with the Spielberg, because Spielberg was meant to make it with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Now, I can't fucking imagine Will Smith. I mean, I like Will Smith, but if he makes it about Jaden, he hasn't seen Jaden, and then... I don't want spoilers. What happens later? But it'd be pretty fucked up, man.
I've got a question. Does it really need a remake? Because a lot of people in like have seen Old Boy. It's not
It's not for people like us who even watched, who can access films like that, who want to access foreign films. It's for people who enjoy R-rated films. Or 18 or 15 rated films.
But do you not think those people would have seen Old Boy? I think it's quite. It's got about Old Boy. I really do think, and now last year in America they made the remake of Let the Right One In like a month.
But Let the Right One is completely different.
But my point is, they keep on remaking films that I think have international recognition, and often when they make the remakes, people are questioning whether those remakes have actually brought anything new to the film.
No, that's true, but I think
are these remakes really bringing in new watchers that wouldn't watch the original?
I think that's
it's like he really likes. Well,
yeah, that's true. But I think it's also because maybe that's, you know, going original point. It's clearly because maybe Spike Lee is actually thinking of going another direction with Old Boy. And I think the scenario itself, just starting point, like I'll just give you the story of what Old Boy is if you haven't seen it, which will be pretty amazing if you listen to podcasts and have it. But it's basically a man. He's a drunk and. He one night he's taken away and he's locked up for 15 years in a room. And while he's in that room, he's training or he's watching the same channels or eating the same dumplings every day. And then suddenly he gets released after 15 years. And now he's trying to find out why, but he just wants revenge actually. That's the plot of it, and it's actually based on the manga. So that's the other argument, because actually Park Chan-wook the twist on it by himself. He just took the premise of Old Boy. So you can argue that Spike Lee could just do the adaptation of a manga, which could be which is basically him getting revenge on people after 15 years. So, but I just because I know Spike Lee loves to do some, you know, social racial commentary, I think he'd bring that in. And hopefully it'll be interesting and not so heavy-handed sometimes like he does. Even though sometimes I can relate to it. Have you seen Inside Man?
No.
Okay, well, there's a scene because, okay, the story, there's basically hostages.
Yeah.
It's basically a hostage kind of movie, you know, where there's a police trying to get the hostages out and there's a band of thieves. And thieves, like, dress some of the hostages as themselves.
Yeah.
And when they're trying to take out one of the Sikh guys, like, they take down his turban and they unwrap his hair. And it's like, oh, it's a fucking Arab. Like, I mean, like, that's heavy. I don't know. To be honest, I think Americans actually can't tell the difference between Sikh and Muslims. We've had this. I know. But, okay, so fuck it. So, anyway, I think I'm interested in seeing Spike Lee do it. Even though I'm absolutely in love with the Park Chan-wook version. I would like to see... I wouldn't mind seeing a straight-up action flick to it, but with Spike Lee, he doesn't make a shallow film. So it won't be like a... It won't be just a B-movie revenge, you know, like a revenge flick. It'll have some sort of meaning, it'll have some sort of depth, in my opinion. So hopefully, if he can bring that in, that would be pretty awesome. What about you, James?
Well, I would be interested in seeing it.
Yeah.
Mostly because I really like Old Boy and just... Spike Lee's a director I'm interested in, so I'd like to see what he did with it. I'd like it if he did something different.
Yeah.
I'd like it to be definitely distinct from the original.
Okay.
Which I would expect. So, yeah, I would definitely see it.
Okay, cool. So, we're actually kind of changing up the format a bit. I think...
Changing the format.
Well, no. I
mixing
mean, we
things
still,
up a little.
Fuck off, James. Shut up.
Cooking in the kitchen.
Okay. Basically, yeah, we're just going to... Well, we have the same features. We're just going to start now. Instead of finishing with what we consumed, we're going to start with it. Going
turn
rebel.
The podcast on its head like a...
Literally.
Like you're about to fucking tombstone pile driver them. Yeah! Bitches.
You're really trying hard to be black this week.
That wasn't black. I was talking about wrestling.
Yeah,
black.
But you're saying bitches. That
bitches. Black people say bitches.
Hell is yeah.
It's a British. It's an English word invented by the Englishman. It's not like it's not like a black person's word.
Okay, you know, you complain to me about this whole 3-hour thing, and you can't stop riffing and going off tangent.
If you're
going to
be racist, then of course I'm going to have to.
You should ignore my racial slurs towards
you. You know, if I ignore you, then I'm just as bad as you.
Alright, that's good enough for me. At least someone listens to me. That's how I see it. I'm invisible at home. Okay, so we're going to go with what we consumed. So, James. Oh, yeah. What we can do, you clearly don't want to talk about what we've been eating.
No, because I'll tell you... Do you want me to tell you why? In the first podcast, we said, oh, what we consumed. And I made what I thought was a funny joke. And I said, we're not talking about food and that. And then you started talking about food and that for the next two episodes. And I was like, well, I don't give a shit what you've eaten. I really don't give a shit. And you just eat the same. It's just like...
I don't eat the same.
It's just dull all the time with you.
Fuck you, man. I had some sushi this week, you know?
Did you? I want to see you starting talking about it again, sushi.
Yeah, I'm trying to defend myself here. It's a perfect time to talk about it because... You know, wasabi, which people in the UK have, I don't know, it's not, I think it's only, is it just a UK brand?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
No, they have it in Japan.
Fuck, besides Japan, I mean, like, is it in the US, is it in Europe?
It's everywhere where you have sushi, where you have Japanese food, you have it.
No, I'm talking about the brand, the shop, wasabi.
Oh, fuck, how the fuck am I supposed to know?
That's what I was talking about.
I don't eat sushi because I'm not a ponce.
Fuck off. It's actually, that's the thing, right?
Eat real foods.
No. First of all, sushi is really nice. And second of all, right, you don't have your points. Because I actually went to wasabi. It's basically Tesco sushi. It really is. You don't need to pay that
much. Exactly. What kind of person goes to Tesco's as, like, looking at the sandwich section and they're like, oh, what sandwich should I? Oh, no, I have the 2 pieces of sushi. Maybe I'll buy that for £5.
Oh, fuck. It tastes good. It actually tastes good.
Yeah, but it takes 2 bites. It's a joke.
That's pretty filling.
It's not a meal, though. It's like a snack.
Yeah, but that's what... No, if you get a tray, it's just a meal.
Yeah, but how much does a tray cost? Like, a lot.
It does cost a lot. Exactly. It costs like £4.
I haven't got money to spend on this. I've got to go, like...
Yeah, you've got to go to Amsterdam, man. Do PhD lectures.
I'm not paying
whatnot.
To go to Amsterdam, though.
Yeah, but you're balling, man. You're balling, you know what I mean?
Balling is the word. Balling.
Balling.
Not barling. Balling. I am balling. Yeah, fucking right, I'm balling.
Okay. So I still got in, boy.
You beat me, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So what have you been watching, James? Anything like music
wise?
Okay,
so basically, I watched a film last night. I watched The Green Hornet with Seth Rogen in it.
Oh, did you actually watch that?
Yeah, I did watch it.
First time?
First time. And it's. I don't know how to describe it because it entertained me, but it's a stupid fucking film. It's really dumb. Like, Seth Rogen has made, like, he plays an idiot in all his films, and he kind of made the film idiotic, I feel. Like, and when I was watching, I was like, this is kind of entertaining, and I laughed, but it was dumb. It was really dumb.
But I think you see, a lot of people shit on it, and the thing I liked about it is, I think Seth Rogen exactly knew what he was doing. He knew this was, he was trying to give a big fuck you to typical superhero films. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like if you have power or you have money, what are you gonna do with it? You're gonna fucking party, you're gonna be a dick. And that's what you're gonna do. No one is fucking noble and, you know, wholesome all the way. They want the whole point. I want to be a superhero because I can fly around for free. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to pay for, you know, fucking flights unless I can get first class, which I can't. Okay, so might as well. Okay, and I want to impress women, and yeah that's it. I could be a Green Hornet in that sense. And I did enjoy the fight between him and Jay Chou.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
That was so funny. It reminded me of like a Laurel and Hardy kind of slapstick moment. It really did. It was just, it's really, it was fucking stupid. Like, the way Jay Chou was kicking him, it was clearly very slapstick. It wasn't,
The film was... like I said, I was entertained when I watched it. I was just like, I was surprised. I thought it was going to be, to be honest, if it was the way I thought it was going to be, I thought it was going to be worse. I thought, like, he was going to try and become this noble person, but he's just an arse.
That's what I love about it. It's
like he doesn't actually grow up.
The best description is, we have a friend called Dave Sobel, and I know that's what Dave Sobel would be if he ever had the superhero powers. He would be like, my dad just died and I have millions of dollars, I should do right by him, but fuck it.
what do you think of the fight scenes? Because I thought, for some reason, like, I kind of thought like they brought kind of like almost a bullet time kind of feel to it, which is something that people stopped doing because they overdid it after The Matrix.
Well, okay, the director is Michel Gondry, right? Mm-hmm. So he's directing.
Which really surprised me when I saw it coming at the end. It was like, I went, Michel Gondry directed this. And then I went downstairs.
So, yeah. But, you know, he made Spotless Mind, which I really liked. Yeah. And you can see some of his influences in the film. You know, there's the whole, when Seth Rogen's going around his car room with a girl.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it has that French feel to it. So you really feel that from him. Mm. But I know there's like a dispute between him and Seth Rogen in terms of what they want to direct and not direct. Like the whole Gangster's Paradise scene.
Yeah.
That was not Michel Gondry's plan. Or he did not want that.
Mm-hmm.
But his action scenes were pretty, I think they were good. They were adequate. Like, I know you're talking about the whole, the Kato vision, right?
Kato vision.
That's what it's called. That's what it's called. Yeah, really? Yeah.
That's nice.
I didn't mind at some points, like, because what...
Well, I kind of liked it.
No, why I liked about it was, it clearly didn't make sense in the context of the film. Like, why are there multiple cars now? Like, it doesn't make sense, but I liked it. And I could take it rather than because they don't need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. They don't explain it. I don't need it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just take in and enjoy it. Like, okay, he's made multiple cars for some odd reason to run a bit longer. So whatever. But a lot of people said Cameron Diaz is really bad in it. I actually thought I liked the relationship. What she brought into the mix between those two guys.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, a sidekick and a hero would like to actually fight for her. Mm-hmm. Especially because Jay Chou's not a sidekick, which is the funny part. Yeah. And I really like that. And I like just how Cameron Diaz is complete. You know, like, she admits she's the older woman, and I kind of appreciated that, really. Because you always just get a really... Okay, she's hot, of course, but you always just get the really hot young girl who just gets wooed or fascinated by these guys, and she's not. She's just like, I don't fucking like you guys.
Yeah.
I'm just here because I need fucking money. And it's actually quite a realistic human being behavior, in my opinion. I think people are shitty.
Yeah, people are pretty shitty.
Simple as that. And I would imagine if you're a villain, you would be very insecure about yourself as well as the Christoph Waltz show.
Yeah, that was weird.
I would imagine.
I liked his gun. That was an impressive
I heard Nick Cage was meant to do that role, but Christoph Waltz was okay. I mean, I liked him doing it. Even though it was a bit too close for the Hans Landa role in a way, the way he was talking. But I think, you know...
I'm not saying that. I don't think that's true. I don't think it was close.
I think it was kind of close, but yeah, I don't want to delve into it too much.
Actors, they do have the same face when they're in films. Yes. So it can remind you
It wasn't to do with the fact that the way he was talking and being self-deprecating about himself. Clearly, because Hausenlander never does that.
That was a lot of silence.
okay, fuck off. And James Franco's pretty funny at the start. I was laughing pretty hard.
When I saw that, I was like, James Franco's in every film ever. What is he not in films?
I want him to be in Indian films. I'm going to be disappointed if he's not in Indian films.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he'd be good in Bollywood.
Yeah. Hey, Akon's making songs for Bollywood now. So.
Really? That sounds awful.
You don't like Akon?
I don't like Akon, but you know what? If anyone could suit Bollywood music, I think Akon's kind of got that kind of weird, shrieky kind of vibe going on.
He does kind of have it. And it's funny enough, it's for a superhero film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I can't remember what it's called. but I really can't. But, so overall, you enjoyed it then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since the cinema, but I think I'll give it a look sometime. I think the issue for me was pretty long. I think that was the issue. It was over like 2 hours.
Yeah, it was quite a lot.
And there was a lot of plotting issues as well. It was just like going all over the place. It was a typical Seth Rogen comedy where mm-hmm. they're just wandering around and without any point.
Yeah.
And which is fine sometimes. I think mm-hmm. A film doesn't need an objective sometimes. I can enjoy the characters, but yeah, so anything else? Shall we go like this? Shall we go round table style?
I would say you're a host, you decide.
You're co-host, buddy.
Co-host?
Yes.
I want a different title. I want like you're the host and I'm like the comedian or something like that.
Well, you're the comedian. You're that funny.
So I think I'll go me and then you can go all your stuff. So I bought like a job lot of like comics this week and I read Nemesis by Mark Miller.
Oh yeah, yeah. How was that?
I really liked it, even though the internet, which I always check, said they didn't like it that much. Well, basically, the reason I feel like it's relevant is because it's the rights to making that as a film have been bought up by someone. But when I was reading it, I thought this would make an interesting film because though the story isn't fleshed out as much as some other stories when you're reading it, I feel like if someone was given that as like a storyboard to work off a script with, it would be a really interesting action film.
Okay.
But
don't you think the hero himself or the protagonist is very unempathetic?
Well, you've got in there. You've got an antagonist, and you've got a protagonist.
So give us a basic plot.
The basic plot is you've got the Nemesis, who is a supervillain who decides to target cities and the police chiefs that run those cities, and he gives them a time when they're going to die, and then he goes and terrorizes those cities and orchestrates terrorism and killings and mass murders in that place until he kills the certain police chief that's in charge of that. And Nemesis is basically about when Nemesis goes to Washington.
I thought it was a riff on Batman the opposite way.
It does have some Batman themes.
Okay. But isn't it a rich guy who turns into a villain?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's the Batman theme.
It's not a theme, that's just a story point. I mean, theme is...
Yeah. The similarities to Batman are a vague similarity in the way way he dresses.
Okay.
And the fact that the reason he's become a villain is because he was a rich guy and something happened to him when he was a child.
Okay.
But basically, what I saw Kick-Ass, which is another adaptation of a Mark Miller comic. And I thought that was okay.
Yeah.
But people really liked Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
I think that Nemesis made into a film would be a lot better film than Kick-Ass was.
But again, it would be... But the problem is, he's the main guy. The comic itself is from his point of view, right?
No, it's more from the police chief's point of view.
Okay, that's okay then. No, because I was just thinking it'd be pretty difficult to root for a guy if you see it from his perspective and you're just like, hey, I'm just gonna kill people, you know? and it'd just be like,
it's more from the police chief's point of
view. Okay, yeah. It's like, well, it's not like that, but what I liked about Batman Year One mm-hmm. was because the comic was from Gordon's point of view.
Yeah.
You read...
I haven't read it, but I did buy it. So it's actually in my... not in that pile, but it is in my bag.
What the fuck? Why do you have a cute reading comic here? Fucking hell.
I told you I was buying those. What? And they're actually quite good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which
They're funny. It's like watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer just with X-Men. Astonishing X-Men series.
What else have we got? Oh, you got Wanted.
Yeah, I've got Wanted.
Is any good, Wanted?
Yeah, Wanted's quite good.
Okay. Okay, so... what else have we got then?
That's basically what I've
considered. Well, you said you got other comics, so...
But I haven't read those yet.
I read
Nemesis, which I bought last week, and I've read half of What Happened Next to the Man of Tomorrow by Alan Moore, which is about Superman. It's basically the last Superman's story after the Infinite Crisis series, the DC series.
Yeah, that was like in the 80s or something.
So yeah, so basically Alan Moore just wrote a couple of stories about what happened at the end of Superman's... What would happen if there was a final...
issue of Superman, if there's no more Superman stories, what would be the story that ended it?
Okay.
I've read half of that so far.
Any good?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I like Alan Moore.
Yeah.
I've never read any other Superman things. I don't really like Superman that much because I think the premise is a little bit, I suppose when it was the first like comic book, it kind of works because you're interested in hearing about a superpower. But I like my superheroes to have like real flaws or real vulnerabilities or real personalities rather than being like Superman's a little bit too perfect for me, in my opinion.
I think, yeah. I mean, they're trying to bring that in right now to the... I can't remember. I think I read Superman Earth 1, I think it's called. It's one of the latest ones. I think it was written by Straczynski, who also wrote Thor, like the film, actually. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's more about him accepting he is Superman.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting because... Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Superman should deal with, because he's one man.
Mm-hmm.
How can he protect the world all the time, especially if there's a great forces that are the size of a planet or something? Because that's what Earth 1 is. It's kind of like an alien invasion, and how does Superman stop that?
Yeah.
So it's not about Clark Kent. Well, it is about Clark Kent, but it's not the Clark Kent about Daily Planet, which I do like that aspect, especially in the films.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the fact that because you can't be everywhere, so how would you save? Because, and I think that maybe that is the flaw of Superman in a way. And, I think that'd be an interesting point to tackle. But other than that, we're not ready to talk about Superman. You can talk about it some other time. But because they're actually starting production of that now. Thank
the
God.
Next Superman.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's gonna be written by Goyer. You know, he wrote half of Batman Begins.
Okay.
And he brought up the story for Dark Knight. He didn't write the screenplay this time, but I think he's written the screenplay. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining dialogue will be very hokey, which I'm okay with, as long as the story is good. And Goyer usually writes pretty decent stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Zack Snyder, as long as he doesn't write anything, because I just don't think he should write anything.
Keep him away from a pen, he's fucking awful, is what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, but I think he's got good visuals, I really do, and his films usually, in my opinion, look great, and like just on a cinematic perspective, they look fantastic, and I think it'd be great. I think he'd be one of the few directors who can actually bring an epic feel to a superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talk about Green Lantern as well, like, you just think he didn't, like, the director didn't capture that. But with Superman, I think Zack Snyder will.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I'll talk about what I've consumed then. James, could you just pull up
my... Oh, yeah, sorry.
I did recall one thing. So I watched... Okay, yeah, I'll go in between documentaries. So I've been watching some documentaries. One I watched is an American movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically based on a indie director who's... his name's Mark Borchardt, and he lives... Oh, my God, I can't remember where he lives. I think he lives, like, near Minnesota or in Green Bay in America. And... basically, he's just an indie director who...
Okay, yeah, I've seen this film. It's basically about... It's the story of how he wants to make the great American movie.
Well, it's not about that. It's not about him making a great American film. He wants to actually just make a film.
Yeah,
well, I think so. I'm trying to recollect here, right? Okay, so the film is Mark Borchardt, and he's like, at the start of the film, he's basically talking about he's had his whole life, and he's still at the same point where he's still working dead-end jobs, and he wants to make his first proper feature film. It's called Northwestern. And the film is actually called The Making of Northwestern. And that was the intention of the actual director of the documentary, Chris Smith, to follow him with his production of this film.
Yeah.
And you see at the start him going into pre-production of the film, and he realises he has no funding.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's pretty frustrated by that. So what he thinks how he can make money is actually finishing off his short film, which he started 2 years ago, called Coven. So then what you actually see is him going... So you see, like, actually 2 years of his time, again, trying to make... finishing off his short film, and you just see his struggles through it, and you see his personal life coming through, but you see all this, and you also see the thing what makes this movie actually brilliant, and I really love this film, is the characters. Mark Borchardt is a very interesting character. Not, I mean, you see, he has issues with alcoholism. He has mm-hmm. family issues. Yeah. He has an amazing uncle.
I love his uncle.
But he himself, he has amazing friends in terms of like these amazing characters are really funny.
Yeah,
and just. You genuinely, it is like watching an actual, you couldn't write a good script, yeah. basically. Mm-hmm. Like, if this turned into an actual real life comedy, you wouldn't be able to get that amazing comedy that this film brings. And you got to give that credit to the director himself mm-hmm. for capturing this.
Yeah.
And,
like his best mate, I forget his name, but we're on the Wikipedia.
I think his name's Mike.
Or, yeah, Michael. But, like, he seems like so much of, like, a character that you expect to see in a film that someone's written. But, like, the fact that he's a real... Guys,
he's
so unbelievable.
He's so funny. Like, okay, it's not really a spoiler, but it's a documentary. But there's a moment where he comes into Thanksgiving and Mark Borchardt's like, basically, because of Best Buds, he's like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Where you been? And Mike's just like, just smiling. He's like, nothing, done nothing. You know, and he's just like, he's clearly hiding something. But Mike's kind of drunk. So, I mean, sorry, Mark is kind of drunk, so he doesn't realize what's happening here. And then he cuts away, and Mike's confesses to the director on camera, yeah, I won like $50 on a scratch car lottery, and I don't want to tell anyone. And it's just brilliant. He's so childlike.
Yeah, he really is.
And his whole family is actually amazing. You talk about his mom as well, mm-hmm. she's Swedish, and she's really just sweet. She puts mm-hmm. up with... Mark Borchardt's kind of sometimes brash rudeness yeah. towards her, but she's so sweet but he's actually kind of sweet to his mom. I mean, he's a dick sometimes, but the fact that how he involves his mom into his production, yeah. he is out of desperation, but I think he actually wants his mom to be there,
yeah,
which I find kind of sweet as uh-huh. well. And his uncle is just a fucking legend.
I love that bit with his uncle in the car where he's trying to get that shot over and over again.
Oh, it's alright. Yeah. It's okay. There's something to live for. Yeah. Jesus told me so. And so I just can't do it. I think that line is actually brilliant. I actually keep saying that in my mind. It's not even like, it doesn't affect me. I think it's just a brilliant line because yeah. it's coming from the uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And just a fucking amazing documentary. It's easily one of my favourite documentaries I've seen, and I've been mm-hmm. seeing quite a few, you know, well, I've seen quite a few, and like my favourite still, and I recommend this quickly, is The Devil and Daniel Johnston. It's a really amazing
documentary. What's that about?
I'll just quickly, yeah. I haven't seen it for ages, but basically it's about an artist who's almost good as Bob Dylan. Like, he's very, his music's very folksy.
Oh, I've heard of
and
that.
And he suffers dementia. Yeah. It's just, that is, I think I love that film because of its direction. I've never seen a documentary closest to impeccable direction I've seen. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people, and, you know, you can talk about this American movie, it has issues of talking head syndrome,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, all you see throughout documentaries, people just talking, telling you what's mm-hmm. going on. And that is a lot in, you have that in American movie, but the characters are so intriguing and yeah. so funny that it's not really talking head. It's kind of like what you see in The Office in a way, when yeah. the funniest bits sometimes are when someone confesses to the yeah. camera. And yeah, and also another thing talking about American movie, I really like how I talk about how characters are really, but like, you know, really colourful, but I'm talking about a really large spectrum. Like, some of them are dicks, like his brothers. Yeah. They're really cynical towards him, but yeah. to be honest, Mark shows that himself,
mm-hmm.
where he shows that, oh, I'll be rich, I'll eventually show you all kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I can see, like, but I still, I'm surprised he didn't. Maybe Mark is a nice guy, but you don't see Mark as a shitty person.
Yeah.
As he probably could have been, like, mm-hmm. especially like how troublesome the production was. He wasn't a complete dick. He yeah. was, but he was very, you know, because he's frustrated with himself. I think that's why. Mm-hmm. But I definitely see even if you don't enjoy watching documentaries, it's one I'd say definitely check out. Really amazing. So now I'm going to talk about Speed. Directed by Jean Dubon, starring Keanu Reeves. It's a pretty much a classic. I watched it, and I think you should know the plot, basically. But if you haven't, basically a copper tries to stop a guy from, well, he tries to stop a bus from blowing up by not letting the bus go below 50 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he has Dennis Hopper in it. It has mm-hmm. Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they came around like around the same time as well. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I think. I can't remember when Dumb and Dumber came out, but they both. But I know. Well, Speed came out in 1994, so yeah, so close enough. And what I like about this film is it's, you know, it's 2 hours long. It's actually still quite minimalistic in a sense. It's it's very simple storytelling, and that's why I appreciate about it. It's just, there's no convolution in it, there's no complexity, it's simple, there's one line to it. Don't let the bus go boom under 50.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. And that's what I like about it. And it's a shame that action films don't portray that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, just talking about Transformers, I mean, we're talking about another review, but I just liked it if it's just like, bad guys are coming.
Yeah.
They just didn't do that. But yeah, going back to, so, and another thing I actually got to say is, I actually just really like Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people give shit to Keanu Reeves, like, in the sense that he's not that, yeah, he's just, he can't act, he's very, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't have a lot of emotional facing, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, to me, a real person doesn't emote that well as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do if a real person? I mean, every person can't have amazing eyebrows to emote there.
Wow. You have pretty good eyebrows from where I'm standing.
I think I have pretty thick ones.
They're like a fucking forest.
They're not that thick, James.
Jesus Christ, they're thick.
They're not that thick.
But I'll tell you what, you don't have a monobrow though, so that's it. Do you wax or shave your monobrow?
I clearly don't.
You look like you should have a monobrow. If you had a monobrow though, you would look like a Muppet. So it's lucky you don't. You would look like fucking, you would look like Grouch. You would look like the Grouch.
Okay. That's pretty good. Okay. But anyway, going back to Keanu Reeves, he actually spoke to the writer and asked him to change some of the character of him, so
mm-hmm.
of the main guy, and I can't remember the fucker's name now. The main guy's name. John.
I want to say like Detective Dickwad.
Oh, we're going to fucking physics. But
cough.
Yeah, cough. No. Go there, James.
I'm here, mate. I've got it. You're talking. You're questioning me. Slap you in the face.
Oh, Jack Trevin. It's not John Trevin. It's Jack Trevin. Okay.
Jack's the diminutive of John. It's not a diminutive because it's not smaller, but people that are called Jack are often, their real names are called John. But
really?
Yeah, it's really weird. That always confuses me.
Okay, that's pretty odd. But anyway, because Keanu Reeves actually said, we don't, because he's talking to the writer, and he said, instead of making him a one-shot hop, you know, one-shot kind of like dialogue kind mm-hmm. of guy, like he gives one quip and he's like, that made the guy a bit of a dick on the belt now, but he's like, bring it on. Don't let it go under 50. You know, just like, you know, in a very cheesy, hokey way.
Facts.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Your favorite film.
It is my favorite film.
But yeah, so he's like saying he should be more empathetic towards the people on the bus, because clearly that's what mm-hmm. police officers should do, rather than just say, let's face the danger like Evel Knievel.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that was pretty good. And so going back to another documentary then, actually no, I'll talk about another police film, which is SWAT, which is fuck, is it 2003 film, and it's directed by Clark Johnson, who's usually I've seen him more in acting films. I think he's in Homicide, the streets of fucking, is it LA or Boston? I can't remember, but it's a show made mm-hmm. by David Simon, who also made The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was in the final season of The Wire as well. I can't recall now again. But anyway, this film, it stars Colin Farrell, Samuel Jackson, based on a 70s TV show. It has Jeremy Renner. You know, he's the guy from Hurt Locker. The white guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's in it. He's like the villain.
Oh really?
Yeah. And you're like, because this is not when he's gone famous. Because well, Hurt Locker supposedly he was.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen the MI4 trailer?
Yeah.
He's in it as well. So yeah. So basically, he's climbed up the ranks pretty well now. And
like a spider up a wall.
Okay.
Winter's
James.
Eve.
Yes. So okay. So quickly going through it. I enjoyed it. I thought the starting, it starts pretty strong. I thought like there's a good chemistry and between everyone, dialogue is hokey, but it's just fun. It's a very typical action film, but I was enjoying it. But then the action actually kind of, it just got a bit dumber and dumber through the, when the film just, you know, going by the end. I think it's just the director, couldn't handle the incoherency.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I do like Jeremy Renner in it, because he's a ridiculous villain. Just like, he's just trying to be cool and a dick at the same time, and, you know, being a tough macho guy, and yeah, you just get that kind of police kind of brouhaha kind of, you know what I mean? So yeah, good film. I think it's very watchable. That's the thing. It's a very watchable film, and it's pretty cool character actors in it, like Josh Charles, who's from The Good Wife, a show I like. And
I've watched that a couple of times.
It's pretty good.
It's quite entertaining.
Yeah, and also you got Bobby from Cougar Town.
Not watch that because
it's fucking amazing. Cougar Town is actually legitimately funny, and it actually mocks his own title, and it is made by the guy from Scrubs.
The guy from Scrubs.
Not Zach Braff, but
he's
the guy.
To me.
Okay, fine. So you have some two awesome character actors there, and Samuel Jackson's actually having a lot of fun with it, and yeah, so it's pretty good in that sense. And okay, other film I watched was Best Worst Movie, which is another documentary directed by Michael Stevenson, and this it's a pretty good documentary. It's based on now the cult status of Troll 2, which is known as the worst film of all time on IMDb, and it follows initially a dentist in Alabama. Oh fuck, I can't remember his name now. But he's like this. He's like 50 years old, and he's a really he's like loved by the whole town. It's a small town, but and he's got like a good life, and but he's like he's got an ex-wife. And he has a good life with his daughter. She's really nice with him. They work well, and he actually has a good relationship with his ex-wife. She doesn't even have an issue. But I'll talk about later what I think of that. But overall, the film itself is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think sometimes because the director, the one who directs it, was actually the child star of that film of Troll 2, hence why he relates to her. But what I have an issue with is sometimes I feel like the director is way too much on joke, like, because it's a cult film and everybody, like, you see all these hipsters, you know, because it goes to everyone goes to these midnight screenings laughing at the film, which is fine, okay, enjoy it because it's really bad, okay, that's cool, right? And it is pretty, they are, I mean, when you watch some of the scenes, it's pretty hilarious how bad it is. But the thing is, sometimes I feel like directors too in on a joke, and I will like you said, I mean, it's good that he's okay with the film.
Yeah.
But I would have liked it to not be. He would have an issue with the film as well, or like the other actors. Oh, there are some actors who have issue with the film. But I would have liked them to explore that more rather than actually enjoying the cult status, because a lot of the film is more about them enjoying the cult status rather than not. And
what's the relevance of this dentist to the film?
Because he's the star. Oh my god! Sorry, I could be fucking screwed at. So for the dentist, he's the star of the. He was in the film. Yes, he was in the film.
And now he's a dentist.
Yeah, yeah, and then
and the child is
the director, and he grabs him, and then he. The film's more about how they actually kind of grab everyone from the cast and crew. So you get the because it's directed by an Italian guy, and it's written by an Italian woman, and I think they're married. The Italian woman and the guy, and it's pretty funny because you get him, and he actually thinks it's a fantastic film, like on its own terms, not just the fact that people
it's laughably bad.
Yeah, laughably bad. And it's really funny because you see him just saying, yeah, it's great that people laughed at stuff that's meant to be funny, but then people are laughing at when it wasn't funny. And it's pretty good, but and it's really funny because he just calls people because they go to his Q&A and all the actors are self-aware of the issue, and you know, they're like, yeah, the actor's pretty awful to it. No, like, they don't say in a mean way, they just say, yeah, he was like telling us to do this, but we couldn't understand what you're saying because obviously, he was Italian, and his English wasn't strong at that moment. And the director's just shouting at the side, "You're all dogs. You're not good enough for my film. I made a great film, you know." And
because the director is Italian, but he sounds like he's from the Middle East.
Is that
fucking yeah, you know, I can't do it. Well, I don't want to do a Mario accent. It's the me, Mario.
That's what you should have done. Yeah. Should have been, I dare you insult my film. It's the time for pasta and pizza.
Okay,
fair. Yeah, racism,
yeah, in the most original sort.
Hey, you come to my restaurant.
Okay.
Insult my film.
Yes, that was it, but it's pretty funny. One of the guys who's actually cast in the film was a mental patient.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He admitted, I think he self-admitted himself, and then he walks out because he's allowed to go out because he's self-admitted. And so he's just like out and about, and like the director says, "Yeah, you're in." it's just ridiculous that, you know, someone just gets cast in that way. And I mean, again, I enjoyed it. Oh, and some of the actors do turn crazy after when you meet them 20 years later. And I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed to study the psychosis of some people after 20 years. Mm-hmm. Like, some people are just normal. Like, the dentist, he's like a very charming, lovable person. Everybody loves him. But then you have the mom, because the guy, the dentist, was the dad. And the mom in the film, she's not fucking crazy. Like, like, they're going to visit her, and it gave me the creeps. I was feeling pretty... It looked like they were going in a haunted house, basically. Mm-hmm. And she was pretty scary looking. Again, yeah, so I recommend watching it. You might enjoy it more than I did. Maybe if you watched Troll 2, you enjoyed this documentary more. But I'd imagine if you've seen Troll 2, you've probably seen the documentary. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's another film. And last film I'll quickly talk about is Kingpin. It's directed by the Farrelly brothers who've directed Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Heartbreak Kid. Mm-hmm. What other film do I love with this? Well, I don't like Heartbreak Kid, but fuck, what have they done?
They did one recently.
Oh, Something About Mary. There's Something About Mary. That's the one I want to talk about. So it stars Woody Harrelson, Randy Quaid, and it has Bill Murray in it. Not much, but he's in it, and it's an okay film. It's not great. It has some laughs, but I think it's mainly because Bill Murray is fucking amazing when he's on the screen. I actually do like I do like the actors in it, actually, but it's very fucking shit. Sometimes the humor is very shy, and sometimes it's very good. I mean, I enjoy my dumb kind of gross out humor, but I think it's more to do with like the editing sometimes. You know, that timing, it just doesn't work. It's like, I know this is meant to be funny, but you're just staring at a gross out thing rather than actually finding it funny. The story, quickly just to go over, is Woody Harrelson was like an all-star bowler. He's up and coming. And then he meets with Bill Murray. Yeah. And Bill Murray is like pretty much a dick. But he's also trying to get to, you know, trying to be in the big leagues and earn a lot of money as a bowler.
Yeah.
And what you see is Bill Murray's pretends to be his friend. And he's like, hey, let's quickly make some quick buck and hustle people on the bowling alley. And what happens is they find out, and it's a basic premise, so it's not much of a spoiler. But basically, okay, all of this. Bill Murray bails out on Woody Harrelson, and Woody Harrelson pays a price for hustling a few people. And then from there, 17 years later, you see what happens to him and how it affects him as a bowler. So, again, it's good, but nothing great. So that is our... God, what is it called? The What We Consume section.
That's what it's called.
There's nothing else I think of. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to add. James, you're filled up.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. Okay.
Done.
I have
nothing to say enough.
So we're going to come back now with the Arrietty review.
Yes.
And just stick there. Stick to your headphones or something. I know you get to like the speakers.
Come back to the next
time. Yeah. Okay. So welcome back to the also known as the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast. And some of your fat, well, one of your fat men said, it's not bad, that movie title name.
Yeah, but who was that?
I can't remember, what's your fat mate's name?
James?
Yeah.
No, I think he's just being polite.
Was his name James as well?
Yeah, it's two Jameses.
Oh, wait, sorry, I know I shouldn't. I didn't want to bring this up in front of your girlfriend, right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty sure it might have been her. I remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
You posted a blog or WordPress.
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
Like, I don't want to be a dick, but no, why the fuck? Like, I got confused. It was like, this is a pretty shitty guy who.
I don't think that was shitty, that was a joke that I.
Yeah, but why? Okay. I know, okay.
I can't find it, that's really annoying.
But, okay, I'm confused, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth are you fucking showing your girlfriend's lingerie picture?
Oh my god, that was the joke, that wasn't her!
That wasn't her!
Oh my god, that was the joke! Basically,
who was that?
My girlfriend looks like EastEnders actress Pooja Shah. So I set up a website called
Pooja Shah.
She looks the same as her.
She looks exactly the same.
I've got pictures off the internet of Pooja Shah.
Oh my god, I feel like posing the question. Oh my god, I feel accurate.
Oh yeah, PoojaOrShanta.tumblr.com. So basically, yeah. My girlfriend looks a lot like this actress.
So wait a minute, is that your girlfriend there?
That's my girlfriend there in a scarf.
See, I could not tell the
in the lingerie, this is EastEnders actress Pooja Shah.
Oh my god. Oh, this is
this is not my girlfriend. This is not my girlfriend. This is not this is not my girlfriend. This is my girlfriend.
Okay, oh my god. Wow.
I'm not an arsehole.
I thought that was a massive...
I'm just funny.
I just can't believe... I felt like... I really wanted to say to girlfriend. I was like, you know your boyfriend is a complete dick. Like, this... That's like some shit.
Can you not tell the difference?
To be honest, okay, let's pull up the picture above.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell from that picture to that much.
But why would you have like a professionally shot picture of her?
I really don't know. I've been really confused, James. I thought maybe she really liked you and she's like, hey, honey, you might miss me. Here's a lingerie picture of me. I don't know. But I'm just saying, James.
No, I might have to get rid of this though because this is the joke's been done. I'll get rid of it later, but the joke's been done. It was like for 2 weeks that I did it.
But that was... I was like, fucking hell. I was really confused there. But I was like, you know what? I didn't know you that well, James. I'm just gonna buy it. This is none of my business.
It's so. One of my hilarious jokes.
It's a pretty fucking weird one. It's pretty fucking weird, buddy. Okay, so this clearly is a great segue to Arrietty.
It leads right into
Right into it. I'm really getting good at these segues. Last week with the whole Zach Braff into... Yeah.
You have natural patter, that I think.
Wow, you
it's
really...
Like, listening to you is like listening to a seasoned professional.
Yeah, or like sandpaper.
Yeah, I don't know how you listen to sandpaper. You can listen to sandpaper being rubbed against something. You can't just listen. Sandpaper doesn't make any noise if it's just sitting there.
When you tear it apart, though, you know.
Like normal paper.
Yeah, yeah. No, it starts. It's a bit more rusty.
Get to review. It's a lot more. We had the awesome segue, and now we're drifting off.
Yeah,
on
yeah, course, now we're completely doing that. Okay, Arrietty.
Yeah.
I have... Oh, no. So, this movie is a Studio Ghibli, Ghibli film.
Mm-hmm.
It is based on The Borrowers, on the English author Mary Norton.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also... What I know it from is The Borrowers, the American version.
Yeah.
Right? And, the American movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it from the BBC.
I know it from the BBC, CBBC series that was on.
Okay, and I just want to quickly go over the fact that... Okay, so you have the founder of Studio Ghibli, who is Hayao Miyazaki, who's like made Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, Hell's Moving Castle, which I really love. And but this... I mean, the screenplay is done by him, but this is done directed by someone else.
Yeah.
And it's Hiromasa Yonebayashi.
Mm-hmm.
I think this first... Well, it's the first Studio Ghibli film he's directed, and, so I wanted to... Okay, so James, what did you think of Arrietty?
First things first, like, as usual with the Studio Ghibli films, like, it looked awesome.
Yeah.
I'm an animation fan, and so, like, I might be... And I'm actually a like a, let's say, traditional animation fan. I like drawings rather than CGI.
I like drawing and I like doing doodles.
I think, like, you, what I really love about them is that they put in, they put in so much detail to the animation. So I'm just, I love watching.
I know what you mean. What I actually appreciate about it is you have these the characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who actually don't have that much texture to them, but then you have the world that has fantastic texture. I mean, it's like the way that actually the liquid moves in it is amazing because it's trying to show you like a little how on that microscopic level
when it was dropping.
And it, just not even having soup or something. It was because at the teapot it was coming out very slowly because. It's still going to come out that way because at the end of the day, drop is a drop. It doesn't change anyway. So I really appreciate that, and that's why I like. But that's one of the things, and that's one thing you always will like about Studio Ghibli film.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, but okay. So carry on. Sorry. Actually, yeah. Go on.
Okay. But overall, like, and so the Borrower's story, I liked it, but I did find myself halfway through kind of wanting it. To not really, it's not like the pacing was a problem.
Are you talking about the film now?
Yeah,
the film. I saw you because you said the Borrowers. I think about as an overall.
So, no. Sorry, yeah, I should call it Ari-E. I kind of
Ari-E
because I know because I know what the Borrowers are.
Right.
I felt like I was just waiting for it to get to certain points and stuff like that. Like, so even though I enjoyed it, I didn't enjoy it as much as other films where I've been completely completely engrossed with it.
Yeah.
But that's mainly down to the story, probably.
I completely disagree. See, I disagree about that point where you say it's about the story because I think the director does a fantastic job in the first 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
Where he's showing us the world that Ariete sees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the issue in the sense, and I would have really liked actually, because okay, maybe we should talk about what the plot of the Borrowers is, just in case people don't know.
Yeah.
So the plot is, actually, you go for it. I'm all for that summarizing.
Okay, so
plots.
Basically, we have Ariete and her family are basically tiny people that, and they live in, and they live in normal people's house, human beings as they call them, and they. How they survive is by borrowing, or stealing, if you like, the things that they need. So they go out on little nighttime adventures and borrow things. Basically, Ariete's family is basically disturbed by what's the boy's name? Show.
Yeah, sure.
The boy
Show
comes to live at his auntie's house where Ariete and her family live, and they...
Discovered. But so okay, that's the basic plot of it. But so just going back now, so I just want to talk about. So yeah, so I was talking about the world again, and so you talk about the story there. And the thing is, this boy, you actually see a lot of his moments, you see a lot from his point of view. And I actually wish I didn't actually, in a sense. I think he was very uninteresting.
Yeah,
he was he was very two dimensional, which is kind of kind of. Really surprising for a Studio Ghibli film. I think even if there are, he looked very bland as well. He was not interesting in any way. And that's surprising for a Studio Ghibli film that you had that, because I think the antagonist Haru and the grandmother, I enjoyed looking at them, but just by their talking and the animation, I was interested in them.
Yeah.
Whereas the boy was lifeless, in my opinion, ironically, but from the plot point, I don't we won't go into that. But the first time she goes through and she's actually borrowing, it's pretty amazing. Even though I'm kind of confused, because you see at the start of the film, she's already outside the walls of the house, and I would imagine that would be enough for her to be enthralled as much as she was enthralled when she was going in the house in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, but I think the difference is. When she's outside, she was just outside, and that's playtime. But when she's borrowing, like, borrowing is their job.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
her becoming an adult.
I like, guess
how
so, far yeah.
Borrow.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. So what I liked as well, so we talk about characters, I do like Ariete as a character. I think she was very spirited, and I just, you know, she... she was a mix. She had a right mix between a childlike kind of innocence, but also that teen kind of hunger to actually explore the world, and I enjoyed that really. Mm-hmm. And the dad wasn't. I think he's me a dick throughout the whole film, like because. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe it's more to do with just Japanese dialogue and how people actually talk in Japan. Like in the sense, the father doesn't actually say yes; he just says a lot. And you're just thinking of he just seems like a dick, but he's not actually but in the sense he's not actually. He's just that's how he talks, and because he's actually quite sweet through the film, he's actually very forgiving to the mistakes she made. Yeah. And again, you know, I like how how the boys actually work around not on in the house, but also around the house in the human's house. So again, that was pretty good.
Did you know that your mum is so fat that she doesn't sit in the house, she sits around the house? Hey-o!
Hey! Carry on. Okay, sorry. That's pretty good. So, wow. Okay. So, we were going on to... What were we on about? Okay, so...
Talking about R.E.A. stuff.
So, yeah, so I enjoyed Mom and Dad as well. I had an issue with Haru in the sense she didn't really give me a reason why she suddenly wanted to find the Boros.
That is true, yeah. She added that dimension of having that fear of what would happen to the Boros, because you needed an antagonist in the film, but she didn't really have any particular reason, so it was a bit odd. It was a bit... random. It felt a bit forced, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, because the worry the Boros have is that they don't want to be discovered. And we already talked about the boy discovers them, but that, I think that wasn't the actually... I think it would have been more sense of... because I obviously he's not that threatening, but I would have liked them... because they didn't actually act that paranoid that they were discovered. That was the thing. It just didn't feel like a natural driving force.
Yeah.
Throughout the story of them being... I would have liked them to have that more of why they shouldn't be discovered or anything like that. So, what else would you like to talk about?
Let me think about it. Oh, yeah, so back to the animation. Not only what I really like about them as well is not the detail in just the actual... like, so the background's really good, but you know how they move, how the characters move?
Yeah.
Is also really amazing. So... though, when I was watching it, it's hard to say, I did enjoy it, but, like, I stopped the film halfway through and, like, did some other shit. that's what's clouding my judgment. I must have stopped it for a reason. It's because I wasn't as engrossed as I thought I normally would be in. I really take your point about the boy. I agree with you. It's not that I disliked his character, but I... didn't find him that interesting.
I actually did kind of dislike him because he did a dick move at a point. You know what I'm on about, right? There's a moment when he does something that really annoys me, and he still acts like a very innocent, like, whoops. And he talks in a very dickhead way. And it's not a spoiler, it's a spoiler, but in the house, the Boros are the only three. So the mom and the dad and Arietti are the only three Boros in there, and they also they don't know if there's any other Boros. And that's another point I would like them to. And I'm surprised that Studio Ghibli didn't do this, because they actually do such a fantastic job with characters and what drives them. And for a girl who's 14 in the film, so she's basically a teenager. Mm-hmm. She would. I think she would start yearning. Well, not, I say yearning, but I would say.
Hello. It's a bit cheeky, Ali. Disgusting bastard.
But she would like. The boy's actually a disgusting bastard. He's already hitting on her as soon as he sees her. You're fit! There's a moment he does literally say that. there's a moment. Because I would like her to actually say. Where the hell am I going to get her, someone like a boyfriend?
Yeah, I would have liked it if they explored more of the
psychology,
the borrowers, the borrowers' fate as borrowers.
Yeah, you know
what I mean, and more interaction. I would have maybe preferred more borrowers' world. Seems like more borrowing from them.
There's only one moment they actually do that. Yes, you're right. So I think that's why I'm surprised, because it is still written by Miyazaki.
Mm-hmm.
Well, half of it anyway. And I'm just really surprised that he himself was not interested in this world, because in Spirited Away and in Princess Mononoke, you see the world and they really delve into that. Yeah. And I'm surprised the humans are okay, but I would love to see how Boros actually try to live. The fact that they are extinct, almost extinct.
Yeah.
What will happen to the girl if the mom and dad do die?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an awful thing to think about, it would be something really interesting, in my opinion, what they would have tackled, and they don't. And I'm just, it saddens me. It's because I think.
But do you think that they picked that because they took a more straight? I've not read the novel, and the series of The Borrowers is, I think.
No, it's probably.
Do you think it's probably quite close to from the book? Rather,
I think it's more to the book. I mean, I haven't read it, but I think because even in the original Borrowers.
Yeah.
The film.
Yeah.
It's just about them trying to escape a bad guy. So at least that's a drawing point. But I mean, it's not that good of a film. But at least there's a villain who actually sees him. I think at the start of the film, and he hunts him throughout the film. And that's fine. That's the drive of the film. But this isn't. And I would love the driver to be in her world, just Ariake actually coming to age and learning how to survive.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And, so is there, James, anything else you want to add? If there's any other points?
No. I'll say, although I liked it, I was slightly disappointed because I do like Studio Ghibli. But it wasn't as good as I thought it was feasibly going to be. I was quite excited about it.
I genuinely...
Because there was a lot they could have done with it that they maybe decided not to.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to quickly just draw about Studio Ghibli and just that animation. Uh-huh. It's just like, first I appreciate, it's a 2D film.
Yeah.
Because, and I think the only other 3D film that actually brings in something is texture, which is Rango. Yeah. I don't know, you haven't seen Rango.
I've not seen it, no.
But he is.
I've seen scenes from it. It does look amazing.
It does look amazing. Like the character is still character design, and if you look at Kung Fu Panda or any Toy Story, any Pixar, it's very characterized. The characters, they're very, you can visually see the character, but which is fine. But when you see something in Rango or in Studio Ghibli, yes, the character's not, but the world is.
Yeah.
And okay, that's not even true. You look at Princess Mononoke. Mm-hmm. You look at Spirited Away, very beautifully textured characters and on a visual level, and this is why I actually probably prefer Studio Ghibli mostly over Pixar.
Yeah,
I genuinely
I would agree
because I think the world is so much more to it, and I think that's why I am again. This is why I think that's why I'm annoyed that there was a world to tackle with the Borrowers, especially because it didn't need to follow a plot point of the Borrowers, but more.
It could have explored something else.
And that's why I think really gets to me. I know, it's sad because we do talk about his good animation, and but I think Ariete is a good character herself. So if you do want to watch this film, and I do recommend watching it if you want to watch it as a judging on Studio Ghibli, especially because I compared it to Pixar films, I'd definitely say this is not it. I'd say Spirited Away is, Princess Mononoke.
My favourite one's Howl's Moving Castle.
I do like Howl's Moving Castle, but I think what I liked about Princess Mononoke was actually a surprise about the violence a bit.
Okay, yeah.
It was kind of violent, but I also liked, I'm trying to remember now, Spirited Away,
that's really good. I watched that with my friends and they really did not like it at all. I don't know why.
I think it's pretty awesome. So, okay. So I think we should sum up what we thought of the film and
just give it some scores.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So just summarizing then.
Okay, so basically in summary, great animation as expected. Story, I think Ali was right, started off well but didn't completely engross me. So I think to be fair, I'll give it a 2.5 maybe.
Out of 4?
Out of 4, yeah.
Yeah, That's the points what James made, and I actually give it 2.5 out of 4 as well. So
I'm glad we agree so much.
Yeah, it's funny. We've kind of literally got the same plot, like same agreement, and that's kind of impressive.
But I mean, we're definitely right.
Yeah, I think it is the consensus between two people. Okay, so now we're going to go with our next feature. We'll be coming back with our next feature, which is Bad Movie Names.
Bad Movie Names.
Bad Movie Names. And there ain't no stopping us now. We're burning under control. Isn't it strange how we're all burning under the same sun? By now we say it's a war for peace. It's the same old game, but do we really want to play? We could close our eyes, it's still there. We could say it's us against them. We could try but nobody wins. Gravity has got a hold on us all. Could try to put it out, but it's a growing flame. Using fear as fuel, burning. Okay, so welcome back to our final segment of this podcast. We're going to be talking about bad movie names.
Bad movie names.
And surprisingly, it's... first it's supposedly coming from because we heard the title Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a shit name.
It's basically a shit name, yeah.
But then we also realised it worked perfectly with our shtick of...
We have an awful name.
If you're listening to this somehow... And you do like it, you're wrong. It's simple as that.
Yeah, it's one of the worst. It'll be top of the list of bad podcast names.
Yeah, even though I'll still say your fat mate James likes it.
He was being polite.
Yeah, he was being polite. Actually, your girlfriend's been more polite by saying you were being a dick.
Yeah, but no, she's right. I am being a dick. We have each written down our top 5 bad movie names.
Yeah.
And we're going to go down them. I think we'll go alternatively.
We're going from 5 to 1, right?
Yeah, 5 to 1, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And I think, you should go... You start, James.
I'll start. The one which I'm starting off with is the one which inspired this, thing. Horrible Bosses.
Okay.
It's up there. It's lazy. It's so lazy. Yeah. Why would you name your film Horrible? Like, if you see the trailer and then after you just see Horrible Bosses, well, it doesn't entice someone to see a film. A name's got to be enticing, and that's just boring and stupid.
It is, because I'm trying to see if I would try to get someone excited to watch Horrible Bosses, and it really doesn't. I feel actually more tired of saying it. Yeah. After saying it once, it's not that great, and and it's odd, because I think, the film kind of looks like it might have potential.
Yeah, it looks okay, it could be funny.
It could be. It's directed by the guy who done the King of Kong documentary,
mm-hmm.
Seth Gordon.
Okay.
But he did also make 4 Christmases. So, I don't think anyone has. But, I don't know. So, I could be agree, yeah, it's a lazy... it's too obvious. I mean, they could have just done something a lot more creative. Because it is based on Strangers on a Train.
Okay.
So it could have... But I don't think the guys are strangers.
They're friends.
Yeah, they're friends.
I'm not saying I could name it because I haven't seen the film. Maybe if I see the film, then I could name it. But I just think, whoever came... Was that the last thing that they thought of when they were naming it? Like, oh shit, we've got to give this film a name. And that was the only thing they could come up with.
Yeah, I think that was it. They're just like, no, you know, they're like handing out a deadline, and it's like, we're written a screenplay. And it's like, oh, just scribble down something, okay? And just like quickly just write out Horrible Bosses, fucking genius. And just like throw it to the studio, done. It's just lazy. It's and
lazy.
Okay, you know what would be good, actually? Let's come up... Actually, we don't know what the film is, but we should actually come up with a title as well.
Spot Horror. Let's come up with a title. So...
No, we should do it now.
That's what I'm doing. I'm thinking.
We can't be thinking on the podcast while we're...
No, we're talking while we think. So, it's basically about these three men that want to... hatch a plan to kill their bosses because they're horrible.
Yeah.
So I suppose the bosses are horrible and there are bosses. So in that sense, it doesn't make sense.
Because I know there's two bosses who are guys and one is a lady.
Yeah.
I would have liked to call 2 dicks and a cunt.
That would be good. Yeah, two Pigs in a Cup. So I'm not sure that the advertising.
It would be kind of confusing. Well. It sounded like more of a porn.
I would watch it if it was cool. That's the kind of thing that would entice me to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But what else would I call it? Three Men and a Murder Plot. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Because it's like Three Men and a Baby, but Three Men and a Murder Plot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Or like something like. I'm surprised it's not called something like How to Kill Your Boss or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like the kind of thing that they would call those kind of comedies.
Sorry,
like, How to Kill Your Boss.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And you know, because Jamie Foxx is, from the trailer, you can tell Jamie Foxx is meant to tell him how to kill him.
Yeah.
So I'd have loved it. Three men learn from a black guy how to kill someone. Clearly.
Very talented. That's done. That's called How to Kill Your Boss.
Killing Class.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would have loved
it. So many other.
Oh god, shit! We should start on TV. You know, we should be consultants or what we should call films.
Yeah, we should. They should bring it up.
We should always start with Two Dicks in a Cup.
It's ironic that we're naming other people's films when we couldn't even name the podcast anything that even made remote sense.
That is actually a fantastic point, James. Brilliant point. Right, we're dealing in the movie business.
Yeah,
the podcast is a lot more different.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yes.
What's number five on your list?
Number five on mine is Mars Needs Moms.
Okay, then. Did you watch that film?
I definitely didn't watch that film. I don't think it was even released here.
That film bombed, didn't it?
It bombed like a motherfucker, you know? It was another Robert Zemeckis film.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he's already made Polar Express.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously, he's made Back to the Future and whatnot, but in this, it's just, you know, but it's his motion capture film.
Yeah.
And I think Seth Green is the kid.
Okay.
And Joan Cusack is the mom. And I think the plot is, that his mom is abducted by aliens because this alien planet needs moms or something. I really don't give a fuck what it is, right?
Yeah.
But the issue I have with it is, it's just a, again, another lazy title.
Yeah.
It has no zing to it. And, I mean, I just don't get the point of the title. I can't even explain why I just hate it because it's boring. Mm-hmm. It's just, it offends the mind. it offends my intelligence, whatever I have left. Like, reading these titles has really lowered my IQ. And I think that's what the job of these titles is. Maybe that's why kids are mean to it, because like, they're like, we got tons right now.
Yeah.
We haven't watched a lot of TV yet, but slowly we will go down that road. And I think that's what Mars Needs Moms does. Mm. And it's the fact that I have seen Mars Needs Moms.
I don't like saying mom. Not Mars Needs Moms.
Yeah.
Mars Needs Mothers. I don't like saying mom. I know it's an Americanism. It's an American film.
Say Mummy for Mars. I would love
Mummy for Mars. Yeah.
That's fucking
people
awesome.
Might think it's part of the Mummy series.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser's Guide to Mars, and the rocks turn into a massive scorpion
again.
Again,
and he's just like, I was in Doom, so clearly the interlink because of Mars or something. So clearly it makes perfect sense. So I think I've given my reasons. So yeah, okay. So already we brought Mummy for Mars.
Yeah,
James, is there any other title you bring?
Martians. Mother, I don't know. Martian family values. Martian mothers.
Facts of life for aliens.
Yeah.
You know, they learn from moms then?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
I was going to say aliens are motherfuckers, hence they have no moms.
Yeah, maybe. Though, to be fair, from the sounds of what I've heard about this film, they should have just not made the film at all.
Okay.
Instead of, like, the name's not any bad, but the film.
James, I would argue that for the rest of the films on our list.
Probably, actually. So,
let's not go with that criticism. Let's just go with, okay, what would you call it? And, actually, I would just call it, it's like, who needs moms?
Moms? Question mark?
That'd been great. Or you know what'd been great in the alien language, like what they call moms.
Yeah,
maybe wet clits.
Yeah, wet girl. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, we love getting clits wet on this podcast. I love it. Love it.
All right, James. I don't think we could have got that many titles. So go on. Go for number four.
So number four, it's another recent film, and
the reason I don't like this is because not only is it lazy.
Are you fucking lazy?
I can't remember stuff, but.
Go Google something.
Not only is it lazy, but it's a rip-off, and that's Bad Teacher.
Okay.
Bad Teacher is lazy because, once again, it's about a teacher that's bad. But we've already had a spate of films with bad. We've had Bad Santa, We've had Bad Lieutenant. Mm. I can't think of other.
Bad Lieutenant doesn't really relate to. Actually, it kind of does, but anyway.
Is Lieutenant that's bad?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I say, shut up, Ali. Recover!
I just think, it's lazy. And imagine if they did that with all films where the main character was someone that was slightly bad. Like, Lai will become bad lawyer or bad father.
Yeah.
What else could you feasible? I don't know. But it's just, that's lazy and a ripoff.
But I think, okay, I agree with that. I think the marketing was aiming for that as well. That
being lazy and a ripoff.
Well, not that. The point of going, relating with Bad Santa.
Okay.
I think that's what I've heard.
Okay.
But, in my opinion, I haven't got to argue with this. I think Bad Teacher works as a title, though, in the sense of not being lazy, but in the sense you can at least see it without, getting tired. Like, it's just shit. Like, I could tell someone, hey, watch Bad Teacher, and it's fine.
Okay.
Rather than saying, hey, watch Horrible Bosses or watch Mars Needs Mom. It's just. And I'm surprised that came on number four, when I think. So you hate it more than your Horrible Bosses?
I hate it more because it's a ripoff.
Okay. So. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you call it?
I would call it, I don't know. So it's about a bad teacher. So that's what I know, because once again, I haven't seen this film. I don't know, actually, because I don't know anything about the film. All I know is that she's a bad teacher.
So. Oh, come on. So I'll give you a quickly run through.
Yeah.
She's a bad teacher, yes.
if that hasn't been drilled into you,
that has not been covered. But
she's not good.
But basically, she just wants she wants Justin Timberlake comes into, he's like a new sub teacher, right? And she finds that he's rich and he's also handsome, obviously. Yeah. And basically, the only way she seems that she can impress him is by getting boob implants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we saw the trailer, so you know the trip on the trailer, the story.
I really can't, all I saw was Bad Teacher and I was like, she's a bad teacher. And that's
okay, so she wants money, and the way she can get money is actually eventually giving a shit for her students.
Yeah.
So she tries to make them actually learn and. Mm-hmm. Again, she just wants to impress, and because the aim is to, when if she gets a high score in school, she'll get a bonus, mm-hmm. and from that bonus, she can get boob jobs to impress Justin Timberlake.
Okay,
so I would have called it boob implants for a teacher.
Or bonus boob jobs.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I would have called it I'm trying to get the right words in, but I would say Cameron Diaz wants her cunt fucked.
Yeah, maybe. Cameron Diaz acts in a film opposite her ex-boyfriend Justin Timberlake.
That's a pretty awful
one. It's a bit long, but it's very literal. It's very literal.
But I'm pretty sure they're over the fact that they used to go out.
I don't think so. Cameron Diaz cries every night. Justin Timberlake, I mean, he's cool.
Who's he going out with now?
Oh, I don't know. He dumped her for Scarlett Johansson.
He dumped with Scarlett Johansson. Oh, he used to.
Justin Timberlake dumped Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
For Scarlett Johansson. I don't know who he's going out with now.
I know he went out with Jessica Biel. I don't know if they're going out anymore.
I don't know.
But Scarlett Johansson was married to Ryan Reynolds a year ago.
Oh, really? So I guess it. To be honest, I just hope Justin Timberlake's single at the moment. Because he's such a hottie.
Yeah, but his tonsillitis has taken him out of the game.
Really?
Yeah, he had tonsillitis like a year ago.
That's awkward.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't care about Justin Timberlake. I want to know more titles about Bad Teacher.
Bonus boobs. Bonus, comma, boobs. Bonus?
But Jason Segel. Jason Segel. Jason Segel's in it. He's the guy from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
I would have liked it if he's like Dodgeball.
I'm not sure how important Dodgeball is to the film. I know it's in the trailer, but.
Well, there's an actress's name, the other teacher, the one who hates Cameron Diaz. Her name's Lucy Punch in real life. Yeah. So I would have liked something like Lucy Punch, Cunts Up.
I don't think every title could have cunt in it.
Yes, okay. I'm relying on cunt too much, damn it.
Should we change our title of the podcast to the Unnamed Movie Cunt Podcast?
Yes.
it's more accurate as well.
Okay, I think, yeah, it's my number four now, yeah. Right? Okay, so, it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
But it's, Star Wars Attack of the Clones and Star Wars Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Basically, because, first of all, both of them are a lie. There's no Attack of the Clones, really, right? Okay. There's, like, a production of the clones. Yeah. But there's, you know, and, they're all, obviously, awful films. And Phantom Menace, like...
But he's a Phantom Menace.
He's not much of a menace, though.
Oh, but he's gonna be.
He's gonna be. Okay. Mm. Okay, James, you defeat me.
Yeah! It's the only Star Wars film I've seen.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
So I have to defend it to the death.
You've not seen episode 4, 5, and 6?
No, I always mean to watch... I don't want to watch them on my own because I'll get bored.
Oh, God. You've genuinely not seen the old Star Wars.
I've told you I haven't. I'm not going to lie.
Fuck. No, this is disturbing, man. This is fucked up.
But I really want to. It's just that I haven't found anyone to watch it with. Everyone I know has either watched it or doesn't want to watch it.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, I won't. Actually, I might do that with you sometime.
Oh, that's nice.
No, because I think it'd be a good feature.
Okay.
Yeah?
Cool. Yeah.
I'm using you, James. I'm using you.
So, basically, what names would you try and give?
No, but I want to say why they're shit as well. Besides...
Oh, I thought you said they were shit.
Okay, I think that's
enough. Go into more deets.
Okay, fuck it, you're right.
No, go on.
I didn't have any other points.
You hate the films, isn't it?
No, I didn't actually have any other points. Other than... Okay, yeah, let's just go on, because I think it's more important to actually bring out names for it. I think that's how
important. The world is relying on us to come up with names.
Yes, it is. Then you're fucking gay... nostril filling and med
thing. I've got hay fever and my nose is blocked.
Alright.
Just telling the listeners so they understand if I'm sounding a little bit nasal.
Okay, that's fine. So I would have called it Attack of the Cunts.
You would, yeah, you would.
Just for good old time's sake. Yeah. I think I'm those guys. Yeah, you know in Hollywood you see that guy who just comes out with one line, like one thing, that's my thing. And yeah. She's like, I think it's because Shanta said don't say cunt. I think it's because
you say cunt so much.
I can't help it now. When someone tells me not to do something, I'll do it more.
Attack of the Clones, when I heard the name, I haven't seen that film. It didn't make me want to see it because I thought it might be shit, but it made me want to see it just because I was like, Attack of the Clones? That makes no sense. So then I was intrigued. But I would probably call a Phantom Menace something. Where's what's his name from? Anakin from? Is it Tatooine?
Yeah.
I would have called it the Tatooine Story. or Adventures into the Dark. Or Beginnings. Or something ominous like that.
Oh, okay, so with the Attack of the Clones, I would have called it... Anakin bitching.
Because
the film is mainly Anakin grows up and he fucking can't stop. He, you know when he showed that picture of me, James Vanderbeek, balling?
Oh, yeah.
This Anakin is fucking balling. Trust me, man. That guy is fucking ripping it. You know, and same with Natalie Portman. I would have called it... if I genuinely would, what would I call it, right? I would have called it... Because the film's really bad, that's the problem. I can't actually... So, okay, if I want to go through the plot, I would say... Because I would call the first one... Okay, yeah, let's go to Phantom Menace. What I would have called the Phantom Menace was Darth Maul ripping it. I would have called it... You know, I would have called it the Republic or something, the Republic... of the Jedi's or something like that, the Council, or just because it's, you know, it's kind of the moment where the, you know, the Siths are not taking over, and it's, and I, you know, something like that, right? And then the second one, I would call it the impending doom or something. You know, that's fucking awful.
That's a little bit cheesy.
Yeah, the impending doom.
Then again, it was called Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, but there's no Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, Attack of the Clones isn't a great name. I can admit. Phantom Menace I accept slightly more, but Attack of the Clones is actually it's an awful name.
It's an awful name. No, because nothing happened. Like I would call it Face Off in Star Wars.
I love Face Off. That's a really good movie name, I think.
That's awesome.
It draws me in, because when I didn't know what Face Off was, I was like, oh,
what does it mean?
Face Off. Yeah, exactly. I was like, what does it mean? And then I found out, I was like, it's even better than it doesn't mean.
We should definitely come with best movie names as well. That should be another feature. But okay, so sorry, I am doing really crap on this. Help me, man.
For name?
Yeah.
For Attack of the Clones? Well, if it's... what's the main crux of the story? Is it about Anakin? What happens to him?
That's Anakin goes back to Tatooine.
Yeah.
I think he sees Mom die.
Yeah.
But he's also falling in love with Natalie Portman.
Does he get a little bit... When does he start turning evil? The third or the
second? He starts... You know, it's the third one. He basically turns evil.
So does nothing really happen to him in the second?
Well, besides him bitching, it's not a good film. Okay. It really isn't. I mean, the ending is a good fight scene, like it's a good battle, but you know, you just don't give a fuck. Again, it's like Transformers for me in a way where, you know, it's, well, Transformers, the thing is, I hate the characters, but in Attack of the Clones, I'm bored of the characters.
Yeah.
So there's a difference, like, they hurt my brain out of boredom, whereas Transformers annoy me, which is, I'd rather be annoyed than bored, there's a difference, right? Yeah. So I would call it, you know, because there's a whole bunch of, like, there's that guy that, you haven't seen it, but there's a guy with the four arms, General Cleavis, or something. So, I just call that the Empire Rises. The Strikes Back, Empire. Empire Strikes, you know, the Empire Rises. Yeah.
If it was Empire Rises, that would at least give a link to the Empire Strikes Back, and you'll feel like there's some.
And it's the middle
of the story.
It's
a continuum.
It's the middle of the trilogy, weren't you? So,
yeah. That's a good idea, actually. Yeah. Once again, we've solved Hollywood's problems.
So Phantom Menace, you call it End of a Hope. Because the End of Hope, because fourth is New Hope.
Yeah.
New Hope.
Yeah.
So I would call it End of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the beginning of the Sith, so is that hope is starting to go down, really.
What's the third one called?
The Revenge of the Sith, which I'm fine with. I'm completely fine with that. I think because it worked with Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Revenge of the Sith is like a perfect work with that. So I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. And so that's my number four.
Mm-hmm.
What is your number three?
My number three, maybe a controversial choice, is The Neverending Story.
Oh, I'll give you a high five for that. That is a fucking shit name.
Because it ends. It's just, don't say that. I just don't like it. And is it, I don't like the name. I just don't like the name.
Really?
The story is stupid. And,
the story is stupid as well. I can't recall. It's a fucking weird dog muppet.
Yeah, exactly. The dog's weird. It's just a weird film, generally. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not happy with the name.
Yeah, it's not a very good name. I think it's based on a book or something, isn't it?
Is it? Let's look this shit up. Let's see if it has any just never-ending story.
Yeah, but I can't type story.
I'm not very good at typing. Never-ending story. Based on a book. Yeah. Oh no. So we just went to the novel. So just go to a film.
Okay, but it's based on a book.
It is based on a book. Yeah, it's an epic fantasy film. That is not that epic or not that fantasy. If it was never-ending story,
German-American
had two sequels. Shouldn't have any sequels. It should go on forever. It's the never-ending story.
Yeah, and I think it's just a shit name anyway. Just say it, the never-ending story. It kind of tired you out already. You're like, fuck, I'm never going to finish watching it. To be honest, when I watched it, I did get tired, and I was a kid.
Film's only an hour and a half long.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, I got bored when I was, I was a kid, and I remember getting bored out of my fucking mind. And, okay, what would you call it then?
I would probably
call it... The ending story?
I would call it the ending story, or the story that I'm not particularly interested in.
I would call it, there's no cunt, so it ends. Oh, God.
Yeah, but I don't really have much to say about that apart from... Oh, it was written by someone called Michael End, which I think is quite funny because it's a never-ending story.
But it was also co-directed and written by Wolfgang Peterson.
Which isn't that interesting.
Hey, he made Troy, which is a pretty bad film.
His first English language film, Wolfgang Peterson.
Well done, you shithead.
But basically that's all I have to say about that. Let's move on to your third
one.
I just don't want to talk about it because it's stupid.
Okay, the stupid story.
Yeah, the stupid story, yeah.
Just fuck off. That'd be the other one I'd call it. Number three for me is The Last Airbender.
The Last Airbender. Okay,
because it's... Okay, originally it's based on... fuck, I'm so hungry right now. I'm really hungry. I'm struggling to actually talk right now. But it's based on Avatar, kids' cartoon.
Have you watched that?
Yeah, I've actually watched the series.
I've watched them all.
It's fucking awesome.
Loved it. I loved it so much. It was so good.
It's baller, man. It's baller.
Oh, it's really good.
Dude, it's really good. It's just... I loved it. I loved just... every episode. I love the comedy of
it. Yeah, I know.
And that's why I've never seen the movie, because I only watched 10 minutes of it, and it's the worst.
I heard the movie was really bad. I didn't want it to ruin
it. It looks good, no. I won't lie. It looks visually interesting, but it's just like when you hear the characters talk, like, was it Aang? He's a fucking awful character. Like, I want to punch that fucking kid so hard. Like, I want to make him bleed. Right? Or maybe I should call the film The Last Bleeding Motherfucker Alive.
So, why don't you like the name?
Okay, first of all, I know from mythology wise, it's fine, but as a general moviegoer, or not, just as a movie person, right? Or as a very immature person, it just sounds like he's getting bent up in the ass.
I know you exactly what you mean. You call something The Last Airbender, people are gonna start thinking about benders.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a shame they couldn't call it Avatar because of fucking Avatar.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there's so many other things you could have called it, you know. Airbender, maybe? I don't know, but I would have called it Aang's Rebirth or something.
Aang's Story, or just like Aang. You could have just called it Aang.
Aang would have been fine, actually, you're right. Yeah. Oh, what's the.
Well, if they called it Aang, The Last Airbender, maybe.
No, the issue is The Last Airbender, because they called it Avatar, The Last Airbender.
No, it's just called The Last Airbender,
Okay, I thought it was called Avatar, colon,
The Last. No, that's what the cartoon's called, Avatar. Colon, The Last Airbender, which is all, I shouldn't say colon and bender in the same sentence.
But you don't get bent in the colon.
The film's just called The Last Airbender.
Okay.
Because they didn't want to say Avatar because of Avatar.
Okay. I didn't. Okay, yeah, you're right then.
My issue is just the fact that when you say The Last Airbender, it just makes me. Yeah, like you, I'm very immature. So what do you think about that? I would prefer if it was called Aang. And even if you want to say The Last Airbender, you could have called it Aang, The Last Airbender, and I would have been slightly less immature.
Maybe, but that would have made more sense, but calling it just The Last Airbender doesn't help. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But I would have called it... I would have called it... Fuck.
You called it, The Last Cunt Bender.
It's too obvious. Everything's too obvious. But what I would have called it, I would have called it The Last Action Hero. I would have called it the white boy who's supposed to play Chinese.
Film casting agents get races wrong. That's what they call it.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Okay, no, I would just call it the Lost, the Master of All Elements or something. The Lost. Fuck, something with elements.
Okay,
I know this Fifth Element. I would call it the Lost Element.
You could have called it that, I would have accepted that, yeah.
Or, Element Bender, no.
You could have just called it, you could have called it Elements or something like that.
Yeah, The Last Element, I would have called it. Because because he's a lost airbender.
Yeah.
He's the only one who can manipulate, so I would have called that. Fuck yeah, I got an awesome title. Yeah. Motherfucker, what? Brap, brap.
I'll move on to my number two.
Number two.
My number two, and this is mostly because I don't like... The way I say this, it makes me feel really awkward.
Sorry, just to make a point. We actually haven't had anything the same yet. Just saying.
No, that is, true.
Okay, but go on, number two.
This one that I do not like the title of is Transformers 3 Dark.
Oh my god, why are you so lazy?
This is the reason. Dark of the Moon upsets me, because every time I say Dark of the Moon, I think of the phrase... Dark Side of the Moon, and I don't know why they didn't call it.
I think it's copyright issues.
Clearly. So, because they should have just not called it Dark of the Moon, because it's a horrible thing to say. You want to say Dark Side of the Moon.
I completely agree with you, because first of all, in the film, Dark of the Moon is awful, but second, they do actually reference a Pink Floyd thing.
Really?
Right. Yeah, and I'm just like, what? I mean, the film, the budget was $200 million.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you could have spent another $1 million to say, hey, we'll just call it Dark. Dark Side of the Moon. I've been happy with it. I've been fine, you know. We'd be like, okay, cool. But calling it Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
And because the acronym really annoys me, because it's DOTM, and I keep thinking it's Match of the Day. With dyslexia. Transformers 3, Match of the Day.
Is there a reason why it's called Dark of the Moon?
Yeah, there's a plot point, but okay. Shit.
Do Do you think it would have been more acceptable to call it Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah, it'd just be better to call
or
it.
Or just Transformers 3, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't need... I feel like the whole colon thing's become more popular nowadays.
I think it's also because mainly what they're trying to do is build a franchise and also know, but because not corner it into just a trilogy. Okay, so there's number 4. No, everyone's like, fuck me, number 4, because it's kind of like, it's like Back to the Future when there's like a joke about Jaws 30D or something, right? Uh-huh. And it's because, you know, and I think audiences will get tired of that, but what they'll eventually do is, so the next Transformers will be called that. And you had something with the Batman, first one, it's not called Batman Begins, it's called Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Second one is just called Dark Knight.
Yeah.
The third one is going to be called Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't have any... Uh-huh. kind of sequel thing, and it's just because most audiences will get tired, will notice that, where you know, and so that's why they do the colon thing. But I am annoyed at you, they've chosen 3 films in 2011.
The thing is, I was inspired this year by bad film names.
Alright, that's fair.
It's not like, they keep on coming up, they're throwing them at me, like, I'm sorry, I should have picked some horrible.
Yeah, but these are the worst films.
But the reason I had to pick Horrible Bosses because it inspired me to do it. I had to pick Bad Teacher because I fucking hate Bad Teacher.
Okay, fine.
And Dark of the Moon upset me because I've heard it a lot recently and I want to say Dark Side of the Moon every single time. I admit that I've been lazy, but considering I came up with a fucking concert, right? That's my number 2, yeah.
Okay, so what would you call it? Okay, so you would call it Dark Side.
I'll call it Transformers 3 Dark Side of the Moon, or Transformers 3. That's what I'll call it.
Okay, I would call it Transformers 3 Come the Last Hour. It would actually still be a decent title, Come in the Last Hour, or The Last Hour, and that would mean, Come in the Last Hour, because that's when the action kicks off and when you actually enjoy the film. So you know, or I would say Transformers versus Wingsuit Men or Squirrel Suit Men. That would have worked as well. I would also call it Leonard Nimoy is a fucking idiot because he voices Sentinel the Prime in it. What else would I call it? Rosie Huntington is smarter than Megatron. there's a lot of inspiring titles.
Just Leonard Nimoy voice
Sentinel Prime.
Okay, then
yeah, he's like the main. You know Sentinel Prime. You're a Transformers guy.
Yeah.
So
Leonard Nimoy is the voice of Galvatron in the original 1986 Transformers film, and he is great.
Really?
Galvatron's such a great
character. I'm not a Transformers fan in the first place anyway. Yeah. Like, I don't care about the cartoons, and I would never go back much there. And, for me, the franchise never bothered me anyway. So, I was going to say Doctor Moon. We chose the. What was it? What would yours be then?
Mine was Transformers 3 Dark Side of the Moon.
That's kind
of
like it's
missing the side.
You're kind of lacking a lot of inspiration.
That's literally what I would call it. I'm not making it. Deadly serious about this.
I would call it The Last Hour, and I would say, I would say Tyrese says, damn!
Tyrese in Transformers 3?
Yeah.
Who keeps on putting Tyrese in films?
Hey, you should be in Fast 5.
Is he in Fast 5?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
okay, so my number 2 is Lucky Number 11.
Oh my god, that is awful.
That is
really bad. I would almost put that on my list. That's a really bad film name.
Yeah, I mean, I was going through my, like, fire, and I was like, what's worse, you know, Lucky Number 11 comes really badly off the top. It really, really does, right? And,
I'm not happy with it.
And from a plot perspective, I can't remember it having that much of an effect. I am pretty sure there is one, but it wasn't that good, that film. It was okay.
It was watchable,
I'd agree. But, and surprisingly, the guy who directed the Sherlock series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then, well, the new BBC one. Sure, I just want to check if it's still recording. Yeah. I always have the paranoia. Yeah, so again, It's an awful title. It sounds lazy. It's trying to have a play on words, but it just doesn't work.
It's just pointless, isn't it? It's stupid.
It doesn't roll off the tongue really well. Just like a name movie name podcast. Even though I'd say, I would definitely say a name movie name podcast can fucking bell off all of these titles here. Yeah. I guarantee to say that. I would love a film to be called the Unnamed Movie Name Podcast. But so Seven, it's just awful. What I would call it then, Lucky Number Seven. By Slevin.
Is Seven relevant in that film? I can't remember.
I fucking can't remember.
Yeah, I know there's a. I will call it The Revenge of Slevin.
That is actually really good.
It's called Slevin, so that's basically it, right?
I don't think I want to go any further than that. I really don't. That's actually a really good name. Revenge of Slevin is just. Revenge of Slevin is perfect. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it because it annoyed me because the actors were really good in it as well. You had Ben Kingsley, Morgan Freeman, Josh Hartnett, Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Stanley Tucci, fucking great actors, and fucking wasted.
Yeah, wasted on that awful name.
Yeah, and even she's in it, Lucy Liu, and I like her. I'm surprised she's not in a lot of films. I don't think she's the worst actress, personally, I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe just fucking Chinese people are not a lot. No, but they're not, really. Yeah. They're not. Lately, I've hardly seen Jet Li in anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing he was in was Expendables, and he was hardly part of that film.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay, so, James.
My number one. Controversial choice, and I know this is going to make you really angry.
Oh, fuck
number
off.
Number one on my list is...
Oh, fuck off.
Inglourious.
Ah! You cunt! Oh, fuck. I said it too loud.
Inglourious Bastards is number one on my list because I think that it's pretentious.
How is that pretentious?
Because I know that it's called Inglourious Basterds.
You're such a wanker.
It's based on a film that when it was released in America was called Inglourious Basterds. Why change the spelling?
Because he's dyslexic.
No, it's not because he's dyslexic.
He's dyslexic.
A part of the buzz that film had, that of people around me, it's like, oh, it's called Inglourious, and it says Bastards, oh, it's funny, and it's spelled differently. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Oh, not that part. I'm talking about his Inglourious. Do you know how he spells Inglourious?
I don't know how to spell. Does he spell that wrong as well?
Yeah.
Why does he spell it wrong?
Because instead of the G-L-O, he does G-L-O-U.
But why does he do it? I'm asking.
He's dyslexic.
That's not a reason why to call it something.
No, but then he leaves it like that, because fuck it, it's cool.
No, that's why I don't like
it. But it's so pretentious.
That fuck it, it's cool to that it's wrong.
But I'm not Chris Tarantino. But I'm fucking defend this. You know, fuck you, James. I'm going to give you a reason.
It's such a, just if they...
First of all, you are
it is pretentious.
It's pretentious. There's a squad of men called the Bastards. The Inglourious Bastards. They're actually there.
They're called the Bastards.
Yeah, but the Inglourious. They're literally Inglourious.
They're not the Bastards, is what I'm saying.
The Bastards is a play on American ways of saying Bastards.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's just him spelling it wrong.
You're a dick. You're an absolute dick. He
spelled it wrong.
He's still spelling it phonetically. No, he's spelling it phonetically. It's phonetic.
Pretentious.
It's phonetic.
It's not, and also, it's pretentious and lazy. He's taken a film that he likes, taken the name, and I'll make it different for no good reason. That is the height of pretension.
No, because his characters are called the Bastards.
He's so angry. There's a vein popping out.
No, because you, fuck you, man. You know what? I got angry when, you know, you thought I did not defend that film enough, right? That film does converge. I'll bring it up right now. Shoshana and Ghost Masters, they fucking converge at the end.
I didn't say that's not converge. I said the storyline is not very well... fucking fleshed out.
This fleshed out. What? There's a journey. There's a journey of Shoshana.
Of Shoshana? It's not a journey. Having people in random points is not a journey.
That's not a random point. It's not random points.
A journey is what? If you watch me walk down the street, that's a journey. But if you saw me at the start of the street and the end of the street, that's not a journey.
No, fuck you. It's called dime time jumping. It's called fucking 1944 to 1946. You fucking idiot. Alright? You know what? Do you want me to fire her like a fucking documentary? So, alright, let's just follow her for three years.
Why are we talking about this again? It's a pretentious name.
No, it's not a pretentious name, you're fucking wrong. Because calling... how is it pretentious that you call Bastards?
This is fanboyism.
No, it's not.
Bastard.
You.
I'm not complaining about it being called Inglourious Bastards. I'm complaining about it being called Inglourious Bastards.
You should have left that at the end, because my title is shit compared to yours. I mean, in terms of just the anger. Because you are fucking wrong, okay? You're fucking wrong.
It should have been called Inglourious Bastards, spelled correctly.
This is why you didn't want me to call. This is why you didn't want me to call the podcast the film Bastards. This is why, isn't it?
No, I didn't want you to call it that because I didn't want you to have swearing in the title.
Fuck off. Fuck off. That's bullshit. You're pretentious. Now you're being pretentious.
I don't think you even know what the meaning of pretentious is.
Yeah, I do, you fucking wanker. Okay?
I think we need to calm down.
All right, what would you call it, James? What would you call it?
I told you, I'll call it Inglourious Bastards, spelt correctly.
Fucking wanker. I would have kept the same because it's amazing. Wanker.
Alright, what's number one in your list?
Mine does not compare to the anger that anyone, because it is truly awful. It is called Ballistic : X versus Sever.
What?
Yeah, I'm struggling to actually say that. It is directed, I don't know who's directed by, but it stars Antonio Banderas and and Lucy Liu.
Yeah, how do I find this? Oh, X. Oh, X versus 7, not the number.
Yeah, E-C-K-S. Yeah, so it's spelled really badly, with X spelled as E-C-K-S. It's fucking... I didn't get why it's called X versus 7. Like, what the fuck? Why is it called that?
I've not seen it.
So I don't think... It's the worst film. It's got like 6% Rotten Tomatoes or something.
Yeah, number one film among the worst movie list.
It is just... Yeah, the title is just shocking. How did this get through studios? This is what I like to know. Like, it is so bad. Ballistic. I mean, it's ballistically shit. I would have loved if the film was called Ballistically Shit. Like, I would have caught on at least. Like, have you seen Ballistically Shit? Like, you're like, alright, no, I haven't. You know, it's just, oh!
So basically, the two main characters are called, their last names are X and Sever.
I know, but it's just still...
But, like, yeah, it's another colon film. Why not just call... And there must be another film called Ballistic for them to think that putting X versus Sever on the end...
Oh, just fucking call it Banderas Rendezvous with Lucy Liu. It ought to fucking work, you know, but... Fucking hell, calling Ballistic X vs. Sever. I mean, it's so hard to say. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like I eat shit right now. That's how bad that's how shit the name is, right? And then on top of that, it's just uninspiring in every way. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make you want to see it, does it? No.
Really? Yeah, this is.
I'll give one thing for the pretentiousness of Inglourious Basterds. It did make people want to see it. It invited people towards the film. It made people interested in what the film was going to be about, whereas this film doesn't make you think anything.
Whatever, I don't want to fucking...
He's angry with me. Ali doesn't want me on the podcast anymore.
Well, next week you're not going to be anyway.
No, I can be next week, but not the week after.
Oh, fuck. Why?
I told you I'm going to Amsterdam.
I know, but why did you... But you... I swear you said... So, will you watch Harry Potter then?
No.
Okay. No. Okay, so I... Okay, let's quickly go back to this, wrap this up, this part. But, what do you call it then, James? Because the only...
I would call it either Ballistic, or I would call it, Ballistic exclamation mark. I would call it Guns and Shit, because I imagine it has guns and shit in it. Because it's not ballistics, it's guns and shit, so you know, guns and shit.
Yeah, alright. I would call it Guns of the Sexes.
Guns of the Sexes?
Because it's the...
They call it Battle of the Sexes, but that's really what they should have called Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
What?
The film with... Jones Smith. Fucking white people's names. Like, I don't really know. Like.
Oh, yeah, black people don't have names like Jones.
Please don't remind me of the horribleness that we had to go through to pick up these names, all right?
Your name is Campbell,
but... Yeah, but I don't... you know, when I was shipped over, it wasn't Campbell. And they gave me this name. I prefer to be called James X, please.
No, what's your real name?
What's my real name?
Let's say, what is it, Mufasa?
Mufasa, yeah, we love the Lion King.
Or is it Itale de Baye?
I was speaking of, so basic bad film names, I have a really good person name, I think. James Campbell is really useful for me. Because I'll tell you what I could do, I can apply for jobs and no one knows that I'm black.
You know, you're so fucking lucky that way.
I know. Everyone knows. When you walk in, they know who's coming to the interview. They know who's coming to the interview.
I'm so fucked. As soon as they put my name as Malik Khan or Ali Khan, I'm fucked. They are ready to think, I'm a fucking immigrant.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They've got expectations.
I swear to God, I'm like, interviewers fucking look at me and they're like, holy shit, what we've done? What have we done? Where's John Smith? Where's the... like, we know John Smith here, you know, like, a simple name, you know?
Yeah.
But fucking Malik Ghali Khan, like, this guy, this motherfucker might blow up some places. He might... you might do a fatwa, you know.
Indeed, indeed.
Okay, so we've now... should we now change our names?
Our names?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we definitely need to change the podcast names first. I'm going to keep my name, but you probably should change your name. I think you will be... who's... you could call it from someone that inspires you.
Should I call myself as... you know, because Terrence Malick, right? So I can keep my name Malick.
Yeah.
But instead of Ali, call it Alistair Malick.
Every time I say Ali, I feel like calling you Alistair. I wanted to call you Alistair. It's my little nickname.
Right.
That's what you know. That's what I mean.
No,
I
don't call me Alistair. Isn't it... don't
right,
call
Alistair.
No. Fuck off. Alright,
well, we do need to change the podcast name.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
No.
It's awful.
It's not that bad.
Actually, I thought all our film names were better than our podcast name.
Okay.
Apart from Lucky Number 7. I think Lucky Number 7 was actually worse than our podcast name.
You can fuck off. okay, so that's our top 5 worst movie names.
Yeah.
And so, James, what the fuck am I going to do for the second week? It's the second week when you're not here. But, come on, try to watch Harry Potter, man.
I'm not going to watch Harry Potter.
Come on, because next week we're going to review Harry Potter.
Reviewing it with Iffy and
Alex. And hopefully Iffy's girlfriend as well. But I would really like you to join.
If I see it, I'll see it, but I'm not going to.
No, because I want you to hang out with those guys and do the podcast.
Can't I come with it, but just say I haven't seen it? Can't I just sit out that bit?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, I'll do that then. I'll
but it. I would like you to watch the film. If you can watch the film, watch it.
If I can.
Alright, but if you don't want to, if you really, really...
I'll check,
a fresh perspective.
I'll check my calendar.
Because I know the story, right? I know the story.
I know the story. I know the stories of Harry Potter.
Okay, fine.
I've read the books.
Okay, fine, whatever, right? So, you're a liar.
I'm not lying. I've read the books. Yeah. Not all of them, but I know the story at the end.
Tells me. Okay, fine. So, okay, so this is the end of episode 4.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed it. I'm fucking starved.
Unnamed movie name.
I think this might be... oh, damn it. We just got over an hour, I think. 2 hours.
Fuck. Sorry, listeners. I was trying to make it half an hour this week, but we kind of...
Oh, fuck. Okay, well... hope you enjoyed it. Please... oh, yeah. Shit, we forgot. We didn't actually give our Twitter names and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, you
email
can...
email first.
Yeah, email. So, you can email us at theump@gmail.com. The ump is spelled T-H-E-U-M-N-P.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how to spell the. you can also go to our blog, which is theump.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I am you can go twitter.com/broken_engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And James,
I'm Nostra James, which is Nostra James. You'll find me. I'm following Ali. I insult him, so you'll find me.
You don't mock me that much.
Yeah, I should start doing it more.
It'd be cool. Yeah, so you can do that, and hopefully, you know, we will be bringing you the Harry Potter review. I need burp there. yeah. So take care, and.